Our reading for Saturday, April 18th, begins in John chapter 17, verse 1. John chapter 17, verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Father, I desire they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." So verse 1 states here that when Jesus had spoken these words, so when he had concluded the discourse that we read previously, he begins to speak, saying he lifted up his eyes to heaven, which is a normal attitude of prayer that we see within the scriptures. And so I think it's rightly so that if you've got headings in your Bible, yours probably says something similar to mine that says the high priestly prayer. And it begins with, "Father, the hour has come," or "the time has come." And so it indicates a specific moment. And of course, we know that that moment is going to be his final sacrifice for the sins of man. But he says, "The hour has come, glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you." And it's interesting how that goes both ways. The Son glorifies the Father by doing his will, and the Father glorifies the Son by raising him from the dead and the signs and miracles that were done, all those different things that we've been talking about. And I want you to realize that we glorify the Father when we do his will as well. It's not just Jesus who, by doing the will, glorified the Father. We do the same thing. It's our role is not the same, but we do glorify him by doing his will. And so verse 2, "You've given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him." That's just part of his role as the Christ and as our King. He has that authority. So as he offers this prayer, he prays for himself, he prays for the accomplishment of the will of the Father. He prays for this glorification to happen. And all of this in view of the eternal plan of God. He addresses God the Father and addresses Him as Father. Even though Jesus is deity, Jesus is God, He is praying here as Jesus the man. And so He's addressing Him the same way that you and I would address God, as Father, as Holy Father. And so then He goes on to pray for Himself, that He might fulfill all righteousness, and makes this statement, I glorified You on earth, having accomplished the work that You gave me to do, and now, Father, glorify Me in Your own presence with the glory that I had with You before the world existed. Referencing, you know, that Jesus has always been there as part of the Godhead, as we usually refer to Him, but He was God and was there all the way from the beginning. Verse 6, I have manifested Your name to the people whom You gave Me out of the world. Yours they were, and You gave them to Me, and they have kept Your word. So now He begins to shift from praying for Himself to now praying for His disciples. And remember that we previously read about abiding in Jesus and doing the will of God and accomplishing the will of God through Jesus. And so He makes this statement, I have manifested Your name to the people whom You gave Me out of the world. Yours they were, You gave them to Me, they have kept Your word. So in essence, vouching that they are abiding in Him. Verse 7, now they know that everything that You have given Me is from You. For I have given them the words that You gave Me, and they have received them. So they believe the testimony, is what He's saying. And that proves their faith, the fact that they believe that testimony and they're still with Him and they're acting upon that testimony. Says that they have come to know in truth that I came from You, and they have believed that You sent Me. Verse 9, I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom You have given Me, for they are Yours. In saying that He's not praying for the world, he's using the world as a term referring to the wicked, the rebellious, those that are living in sin and are contrary to God. And as part of His plea, He's making this statement that because they've believed that He is the Christ, and because they have accepted the testimony, they have come to know in truth that Jesus came from Him, that they are not only God's, they are Jesus's, and vice versa. And so then begins to pray for them because they belong to them. Verse 10, all Mine are Yours, Yours are Mine, and I am glorified in them. Again, glorification comes through faithful obedience and doing the will. Verse 11, I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. So as Jesus is tying up the end of His ministry, He knows that He's going to be leaving. He is praying because they are going to be left to bear the brunt of the coming persecution and the weight, if you will, of spreading the gospel. Though I think that all the apostles looked at that responsibility the same way that Paul did, which was, it was a great honor to be an apostle and to preach the gospel. But it still was a weighty responsibility because of all the tasks that would befall them, from preaching so that others may be saved, to establishing people in the truth, to defending the truth against the false teachers, to dealing with controversies and sins. There's just a lot that went along with being an apostle. Likewise, today, there's a lot that goes along with being an elder, a shepherd of a local flock, in that there's a weighty responsibility. So He indicates that while He was with them, He kept them in Your name, which means that He protected them and He cared for them. And the only one that might be lost would be the one that was the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to You, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have My joy fulfilled in themselves. So as Jesus is tying up His ministry, He's about to be crucified. He's going to then be resurrected and then ascend to heaven. He's finishing all of this work up that came with coming to this earth. And so He says that His joy may be fulfilled in them, basically, as they go on and realize the magnitude of the promises relating to the Christ, and as that is fulfilled, they will see that joy as well. But because they have accepted the words of Jesus and the words of God Himself, that means that the world does not accept them. It separates them. As we are sanctified in Christ, we are then set apart from the world. We are away from the world. And the world only loves those that belong to it. So as it states here, the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. As we become disciples of Christ and we shine the light of Christ, the same is going to happen with us. People will either be interested in knowing more about the hope that is within us, or they will reject us. And he says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, because they have a work to do, and we all have a work to do as long as we live on this earth. He says, but I ask that you keep them from the evil one. Again, he makes the statement, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. It is by the word that we see the will of God, and then we have our faith, and then our obedience, leading to sanctification. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world, and for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. Here, when Jesus says that he sanctifies or consecrates himself, it's not talking about sanctification in terms of from sin, the way we think about it for ourselves, but the fact that he is set apart for a specific purpose, and that purpose allows them to be sanctified through that truth. Verse 20, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, through the work that they are going to be assigned to do in establishing the church and preaching the gospel into all the world. Verse 21, that they may all be one, they may be all unified, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So by that unified purpose and by speaking the same thing when they preach the gospel that Jesus spoke, that gives credence to what they're saying, and the world then may have the opportunity to believe. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be even maybe one even as we are one. Verse 23, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. The same point being made here. And may also be referencing their unity amongst each other, that there not be any divisions or discord among them. And that might be a little bit of a reference to the fact that they kept asking who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. He gets down to verse 25, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I have made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Again, the only way that we know God the Father is by knowing Jesus the Son. Thank you for your attention today. I hope that you'll come back tomorrow for another reading. We'll begin in John chapter 18 tomorrow. Please continue in prayer, and may God be with us all.